Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Well, It Depends. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on August 5th, 2026.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
Today is kind of a midway through part through the year, and specifically a midway part through the summer. This is a time that you should be enjoying the weather and taking some time off with your family. But just because it's summer doesn't mean that the news slows down by any means. Every one of these topics that we're going to talk about in today's podcast is a real-time stress test and a decision that should have probably already been made before some of the news broke. And what we're going to kind of dive into is some of the topics and how this can revolve around your plan are asset allocation, rebalancing, cash reserves, risk tolerance, and just overall emotional decision-making in the moment and how that can affect your overall plan. So some of the topics that we're going to talk about today are in regards to some of the momentum names and kind of the whiplash that we've seen in the market. And the momentum names specifically, we're talking about the semiconductor names like NVIDIA, AMD, Intel, and then the memory stock names like Micron, SanDisk, and SK Hynix. Specifically the memory names, we saw Micron and SanDisk have some of the worst months ever, with some of these names being down 50%. There's a lot of leverage built into these names, and the key AI themes are experiencing a lot of volatility associated with them. So my question to you, Andrew, is how would you handle a client who approached you who is still in one of these names and is experiencing a lot of this volatility and is unsure whether to sell or hold moving forward after some of these whiplash moves that they might have experienced?
Well, if one of my clients is working with me, we should have already been diversified. So none of these should already be playing a major role in the portfolio.
Yes.
So I'm sure on the way up, I tried to talk to them about trimming it, you know, selling into strength, which is just a disciplined thing to do when you have some winners. But exactly, I'm sure on the way down, we talked about why we hold and, you know, not to just have high water marks specifically in our brains as what the stock is worth. I actually know I do have clients that with a couple of these in their portfolios. And it's especially in the past number of years, some of these things have had spectacular gains, and there was a, you know, a fear of missing out on some profits and didn't continue to hold. I do think some of that narrative has changed. It's been such a volatile year.
Yeah.
I think people are more scared than, let's say, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, when things were really hyped up. So I think selling disciplined is much more palpable in people now than it was back then.
Yeah. And just the AI theme, we were talking about this the other day. There's a lot of names that you wouldn't even directly associate with the overall arching theme of the AI trade, like a name like Caterpillar. There's a lot of names that are being introduced to this high volatility. And for many of you out there that still might hold some of these names, this is expected to continue. So like Andrew was saying, look for opportunities to kind of trim or diversify so that these big swings are actually not affecting your overall portfolio and making you lose sleep at night. So another area, which is kind of counter to what we were talking about in terms of volatility, that has kind of shrugged off some of the perceived volatility that we might have saw in April and May, is the continuation of the market shrugging off geopolitical risk. And what we mean by geopolitical risk, we're specifically talking about the Iran war. This Iran deal hasn't materially come to anything. There is on and off negotiation. There's still bombs being dropped. You know, this, and the market has still moved higher. How can you explain to a client how the market can be up when the news and the headlines might be scary and with the way that they frame them?
Yeah, so this one is a little peculiar, but market is a future looking indicator. And the idea behind that is that We buy stocks, which are companies, and we're buying them at what we think they'll be worth in the future. And we try and discount future earnings to today. And we hope that we're getting a good price and that they're going to grow, you know, in the future.
Yep.
What's happening with the risk and the war is, it, as you said earlier, it's so flip-floppy. Sometimes there's a deal headline. Sometimes there's strike headlines. It changes by hour, even faster than day by day.
Yeah.
On, off. So it's almost impossible to track. But because it's so uncertain, that's why the market shrugged it off. The market believes there's certainty in the uncertainty. They mm-hmm. don't. So they don't believe in a deal, but they also don't believe it's going to escalate any further. And it's just going to be this tit for tat, on, off, which the market's fine with. Once again, the market doesn't like uncertainty. So if we were to see major escalations, which can be very risky and hard to predict, we would see the market react the other way. And same thing, if we saw a deal strike, probably off to the races.
Yeah, we have seen inflation tick up, but we have mentioned
most of that is the oil.
Oil. Yeah. And in previous podcasts, we've talked about oil prices and having it be that watermark where we thought $5 for, you know, $4.50 was where we were getting to the area where it does become expensive to drive and travel. And that's the whole point of summer. But we have seen oil start to tick down and gasoline prices have started to tick down, but not to levels where I would feel the average consumer is comfortable. We're still hovering in that low four, under 450 range. So, you know, that is still a cause for concern as we head into the end of the year, where you do want to see the inflation start to tick down and you want to see oil still to continue to go down as well. That leads into, it is earnings season, and 85% of the S&P 500 companies that have reported so far have beaten earnings estimates. Some of the mega caps, specifically Microsoft and Amazon, led the way with very large moves. And I say large moves in the sense we're talking about mega caps. And for people who are unaware of the term mega cap, we're specifically talking about companies that are well above $1 trillion in market capitalization in terms of overall value. So we're talking very large companies moving 10, 15% in one day. Those are big moves, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And just to specifically pick on one, Microsoft had its best single day performance since 08, and it gained $500 billion in market cap in a single trading session. So both companies jumped significantly on similar catalysts around cloud compute growth. And they had been recently beaten up on the narrative that AI was going to in some way infringe on that business model. But both Amazon and Microsoft are continuing to print cash. And I think this was a little bit of a catch-up trade where both companies were down 10, you know, double digits prior to their earnings. So I think it was a lot of people realizing that these two names are still big players when it comes to growth and our earnings. Two names to specifically mention that did report but fell were Meta and Google. And a lot of it due to spending worries on CapEx, specifically Meta, where, you know, their 92% of their cash flow is going to, you know, spending, which is not specifically inherent with how their business model has performed in the past. I think this kind of ties into what we were talking about before, where when you see these large moves and start to see a little bit of overall, I think, volatility in the market where a lot of names are moving double digits, how do you handle managing the size of your cash reserve bucket when you see large moves like this? Is this an opportunity, do you think, to possibly sell and trim into the strength? Or do you see this as an opportunity to maybe hold and see if this can continue on further into the year?
Well, so there's a lock-in bias when people buy something, especially if it has been a high flyer. But there's always a new deal around the corner. So that should also, that's what I tell people. You're telling me that there's nothing in the entire stock market that you think will outperform this, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That helps kind of reset the frame of mind where it's, okay, yes, this has done really well, but getting that last extra 5, 10%, there might be something that gets 10, 15. Mm-hmm. So why are we holding on to the high when there's something that's going to get there faster? And total portfolio. So that's part of being an advisor in general. It's what are we actually trying to do here?
Yeah.
Is it total wealth growing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it risk management? Those are types of tax burdens.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're really looking out, where it's don't let just one single thing be the factor and have it mess up your, once again, big financial picture, yeah. Right?
So to kind of summarize, this week and part of last week, we had big earnings beats, a war relatively still looming in the background, and now, as of today, the market's sitting at all-time highs. I think all these headlines really show the value of having a plan and not letting those headlines emotionally be involved with every decision point that you might make. So one last question to wrap up today's episode is, what does the plan working look like to a client? Is that something, maybe is it a number, or is it more of just like a feeling of not having to think about your finances when you might be away with family or doing things, enjoying your retirement? So what is like a plan working look like?
To me, in my practice, I think we've seen it in client meetings where it's, despite the headlines, people might even come into the office pretty upset and worried, but we look at total performance. We look at where we are tax-wise. We look at our cash reserves. We look at what we're going to do this year,
mm-hmm.
You know, remodeling, buying cars, taking trips, paying for grandchildren, whatever the case may be. It reframes it where it's, yes, there's a lot going on in the news, but let's bring it back to Rhinebeck, or mm-hmm. let's bring it back to Corning. Let's bring it back to the client,
yeah.
Where how is this actually affecting you? You might see it in filling up your car, higher prices, but once again, a lot of our performance has helped offset that. Stock markets have very, very well past about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So as long as you've had assets, you should be able to handle those additional burdens.
Yeah. And that's why we've said this multiple times as advisors, we do like those routine check-ins, whether it's doing that, you know, doing a beginning year, mid-year, end year, or quarterly. Those checkpoints allow us to make sure that any big news headlines that might have occurred within those months are being talked about and addressed. And, you know, those discussions are happening. It's not like one thing that you always express, and I agree with it, is if there is something wrong, we will specifically call you and address it to you. If we're worried, we'll call you. But also at the same time, we would rather you call us if something is bothering you. Like if you are worried about something, if you're losing sleep, it is important to call us, even though there is no maybe set meeting. That's what we're here for. We're here to help talk you through it. So it is a bit of a two-way road where, yes, it is our job to bring attention to something that is important, but it's also your job to come to us and be like, this is bothering me, can you explain it? So it is important to have those routine check-ins to make sure your plan is going the way it is. So overall, you know, I think that's a good spot to end today's podcast episode. And thank you guys for watching. I'm your host, Derek Doyle.
And I'm Andrew Barron.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.